Hi, this is Sam Lagana with the Los Angeles Rams. Whose house? You're listening to the Los Angeles Rams UK podcast. Undenied worldwide. The Los Angeles Rams. It doesn't get any better than this. Let's go Rams.
Good evening and welcome to Los Angeles Rams UK podcast episode 45, can you believe? Following on from the disappointing loss to Seattle last weekend, I'm joined by our good friend Jordan here to look at the game, what's come out after the game, and look at some of our Sky predictions, as we've been doing throughout the season. Look, see where the table is there. Might take a quick look at the season predictions as well before we look at Facebook questions, the playoff situation, etc. Jordan, how are you, sir?
I'm not bad, thanks. Yourself?
Can't complain. It's that twilight zone between Christmas and New Year when we don't entirely know what day it is, or in particular care, really, at the moment.
But just not much to keep you going, especially just now, lockdown for pretty much all of us now. So, yeah, it's even more of a twilight zone at the minute.
It is. It does feel very strange not being able to escape to the pub or go out for a meal or something like that. And yeah, I'm having to cook every night. It's a good job. There's lots of leftovers from Christmas. So I hope you had a good Christmas. And I hope the Seattle game didn't spoil that too much for you. So let's try and make this as quick and painless as we can. Your initial thoughts on the Seattle game?
Yeah, it's just... Like you say, it's just disappointing overall. I mean, the defense is playing really well. I know people will look at 20 points, but you know, seven of those coming in the last minute, 2 minutes of the game. It was just somehow we've gotten to the stage where offensively it's almost back to, you know, you'd think that it was Rob Boras was the coordinator again. That's kind of how bad it's getting. A lot of issues overall. The quarterback, I think now, is, you have to say, is the main one. I think no matter how much you like Goff or want to like Goff, I think it's getting to a stage where the excuses have ran out. There is other things wrong, you know. It'd be impossible to say it's 100% him. I think now we're seeing why, you know, Brandon Cooks, maybe not necessarily Brandon Cooks the player, you know, I don't 100% disagree with the decision to trade him, but to trade him with no like-for-like replacement, I think we're seeing how badly that's affecting the offense overall, just because of, you know, there's nobody to take the top off the defense, which opens up the middle of the field, the kind of intermediate routes for, you know, Woods and Cup as much as we'd like. And then obviously there's been injuries. You know, the Henderson going down on Sunday just being another example. When he looks like he's going to walk in for a touchdown, he ends up having an ankle sprain, which, you know, kind of sums up how the last few weeks have went, to be honest. But yeah, just again, the defense done really well, you know, Penning and Wilson. I think Goff might have had more rushing yards than Wilson, which kind of says it all. Obviously, Wilson had the touchdown on the run, but you know, overall they've done really well. But I think I said it in the first half, there's only so long you can hold Wilson out, and that kind of proved. It was all the way down to the last 2 minutes when the dagger, as they say, and I think they mostly say that in basketball, before, but you know, the kind of commentator's phrase, that was obviously the killer. There was no coming back from that, no matter how much you were kind of clutching at straws that the offense would eventually get going. That was, you know, as soon as that touchdown goes in 2 minutes from time, it was over. You know, offensively we've scored, you know, 3 field goals, which you're not going to beat many teams with 9 points. Probably the last time was, ironically, when we beat the Jets a few years ago.
I remember that game. Was that 9-6?
Yeah, I actually think we might have beat Seattle with 9 points in the first game we played them back in LA as well. But yeah, I think that's you're going to be lucky to win with 9 points. And if you'd have said after 2017, 2018 seasons would come to this 2 years later, I think you'd have been calling somebody crazy to say that the offense was going to look this bad. But unfortunately, that's the stage we've got to, and we're on to kind of the last shot to make the playoffs this week.
Yeah, it is very much the last chance saloon, and I just didn't feel very confident with that first play. You know, that opening drive of 3 plays for a total of 9 yards. And it just didn't feel to be clicking either at all. And obviously, I mean, Seattle went quite similarly, in so much as they punted as well on their first drive. But even when we got the field goal, it didn't feel as though there was any rhythm to the team at all. I think the one positive we can take out of the game is that I think we found a competent kicker in Matt Gay.
Yeah. You know, touch wood, finally, the issues of, you know, kind of went away. Obviously, we'd Sloman earlier in the year, which just wasn't looking great. But yeah, it's kicking's just one of those weird things where I said it a while ago, I still can't believe it, that America can't find 32 people that can kick a ball well. It's mental, considering, you know, we kind of grew up in this country kicking balls of different shapes from a very young age. You know, I was probably kicking a football or soccer ball from as soon as I could walk. So, you know, you're getting paid a lot of money to do it as well. You'd think someday would want to make a career out of it, but here we are. But yeah, no, even I think he'd won it, you know, they did won it 50 plus yards. I think he had one. So, I mean,
yeah, his longest was 51. So, I mean, yeah, that's pretty decent going in anybody's book. So, I'm not going to be effusive in my praise of him, but you know, he does look competent for the half a season he's had with us.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're starting to finally not feel like every field goal is going to be a huge task. You know, even the 30 and 40 yarders early in the season, you were thinking, well, this could be 3 points or we could be scoreless here. But yeah, that's hard to call. Being able to kick a field goal, a huge positive, but unfortunately, the way the last 2 weeks have went is about the only positive, yeah, offensively anyway.
Yeah. Any other positives from the game at all for you, Jordan?
I mean, just defensively, just being able to, you know, again, 5 sacks, you know, held them under, 300 yards offensively again, which, you know, Seattle's had a, you know, they've been relying on their offense for most of the season. They've got better defensively as the seasons went on, but, you know, it's still a pretty, you know, Metcalf again, I don't think had much, even, well, he had 59 yards, but I don't even think most of them were on Ramsey. He had a couple of, like, quick slants that they tried to get him going, but they didn't really do anything deep down the field particularly much. I think they had one big play. But, yeah, I mean, you can't really fault the defense at this point of the season. Still, it's you know, it's been a really good year for Brandon Staley. You're kind of now at the point where you're kind of hoping more than expecting that he's going to be here next year. Just with the amount of jobs that I think are probably going to be open around the league for head coaches. So, I think that's the defensively. It's the only positive we can take right now. I mean, even special teams isn't great, with another fumble and a punt return, which luckily we somehow managed to recover. I'm still not sure how, but you know, just even that side of the ball, mostly overall, the coverages and everything on the punts and the kickoffs is just terrible. When your offense isn't getting going, you need a spark from somewhere. You need a big return. You need, you know, how many times do we see, I know he's not here anymore, but Corey Littleton, you know, he blocked 3 punts or something in one season. You know, there's nothing like that. It's not even close at the minute. So that's probably another change, to be honest. The special teams coach, I would be surprised if he lasts more than one season, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, obviously special teams has been a forte of the Rams for quite some time. And the defence has been solid for equally as long. And you're quite right, they were good on Sunday evening with three interceptions and five sacks. And they did limit Seattle quite well. We just didn't seem to get in any rhythm or anything at all really with the offense, and it was really disheartening as a fan to get to sort of half time. And was it 6-6 at half time?
Yeah.
I was just, everybody was sort of looking for that we never lose when we're leading at half time sort of omen, and that never came for us. And I think after that, I sort of lost heart with the game as well. I was sort of watching the minutes until midnight plus when it would all be over. So at least it's not the last game of the season, and we haven't ended badly. We do still have at least one more game at home against the Arizona Cardinals to come. And obviously there's quite a lot riding on that at the moment. But there's quite a number of things that came out after the game. Obviously, I think we learned, it was yesterday, that Jared Goff has had surgery on his thumb now. So he's definitely out on Sunday. But we've also signed Blake Bortles from the Denver Broncos practice squad. So we do have Wolford and Bortles in the house. And who's the third quarterback, Jordan?
It's Bryce Perkins.
I think we're reaching if we have to go that far down the depth chart. But am I right in believing or being informed that Wolford's the starter for Sunday as far as we're aware at the moment?
Yeah, I think as far as McVay's press conference yesterday, he said Perkins was going to be the backup, but I don't know if that was pending Bortles being signed. But you know, obviously Bortles hasn't been on the squad the full year, so you know, I can't imagine anything's changed majorly. Obviously spent the whole of last season here, so you'd imagine that most of like the terminology and stuff will be the same, but I still think, you know, what, 4 or 5 days is pretty, there's going to be difficult for him to come in and, you know, even be the backup, to be honest. But we'll see. Obviously, you're hoping you don't need to go down to a backup again, or at all, during the game. So, but we'll see. But yeah, Wolford's going to be starting.
Yeah, I mean, it does feel as though Blake Bortles has been brought into the squad on the presumption that we'll get to the playoffs for at least one game, and that we'd probably need a competent or experienced backup for Jared Goff if he's available, or if not, somebody at least on the bench to actually come in for Wolford if we get that playoff game.
To be honest, I think it's just a COVID protocol. It's pretty much the same reason that they've got a whole new special teams unit in the practice squad right now. Obviously, quarterbacks could generally be close contacts of each other, or so I think, to be honest, I think it's just a numbers game. Obviously, we've had three quarterbacks on the roster, or well, one on the practice squad, two in the 53-man roster all season. So, and obviously, it's Bortles is familiar with aspects of what they've done being there last year. So, I think it's just a numbers game, to be honest. I don't think they're hoping Bortles is going to come in and do anything, to be honest. I think it's just a purely a numbers game.
An insurance policy.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And the other news which came out earlier today was that, or maybe even yesterday, actually, was Cooper Kupp is part of the COVID protocols now as well, and he's actually tested positive himself. So that gives him at least 10 days out of the squad. Have you got any more information on that, Jordan? I haven't caught.
No, I'm not entirely sure how long he needs to be kept out, because there's been no, you know, nothing about symptoms or anything. It's just been that it was a positive test that kind of broke earlier today, Wednesday. You know, so I'm not really sure how it works, to be honest. If he's asymptomatic, I think he possibly just needs to test negative like two or three times in a certain period of time. But I think the expectation is he's out for Sunday, regardless. So, yeah, it's obviously a huge loss. One that I'm sure John Walford would have wanted to be able to throw to. But yeah, just the problem's just mounting at the minute.
Yep, and one last piece of bad news is obviously Cam Akers is out as well at the moment. And we don't seem to have many running backs, experienced. Then again, can we call Cam Akers experienced running backs in the squad at the moment either? So very much a case of next man up. And see what we can do there. But opportunities as well, because we do have Van Jefferson. Do you think this might be an opportunity for Van Jefferson to actually make his mark again?
Oh, probably need to be. You know, he's the third receiver on the depth chart, so unless they plan on going, you know, two tight ends and two wide receivers for most of the game, then he's definitely going to be needed. Running backs-wise, Malcolm Brown's obviously your most experienced guy, and then you've got Xavier Jones and Raymond Calley, two guys that I don't think have really played in the NFL at all. I think both might be rookies. But, yeah, it's especially when you're going down to a backup quarterback, it's not exactly something that you need all these injuries at the positions. I think McVay might have said Akers possibly has a chance for Sunday, but you know, you wonder how much they're going to risk guys like that. I'm sure, although they're not coming out and publicly say it, they're hopefully banking on a Packers win that puts the Rams into the playoffs regardless of Sunday's result. And you know, would you rather give, if touch wood, you make the playoffs, would you rather give somebody like Akers an extra week to recover, or you know, play him, risk, you know, aggravating the injury, and then you are down to really, you know, Brown, Jones and Cali for a playoff game, you know, rather than having at least Akers there. So interesting decisions to come on Sunday. We'll get a glimpse of what McVay can hopefully dial up for a backup to in his first NFL start in a pretty big game.
Definitely, yeah. It is a pretty big game for the squad and for individuals. There was some good news about an hour before we actually dialed in, Jordan. Micah Kizer was activated off reserve, and Andrew Whitworth has returned to practice. Had you caught that one?
Yeah. No, there's been nothing really said about Kizer. So it was interesting to see be reactivated. Whether that means he's going to make an appearance on Sunday is one thing. I think McVay's got a press conference, no doubt, after we leave here, so there'll be news by the time this comes out. And Whitworth, I think they've said they would be aiming at next week, should there be a next week, as in playoffs, which I think was kind of the early rumours. You know, obviously, it's a pretty quick recovery for... I know that MCL isn't the major ligament in the knee, but it's still pretty major all the same. And for his age to come back in, I think it would be 7 weeks he would be back in. It's pretty remarkable. So that's a credit to him and the training staff, him and how he keeps his body overall, and obviously the training staff and rehabbing him back.
You know, he is one of the veteran players, I think is the polite term these days. But, you know, he does keep himself in in good condition. And I think it's just a piece of good news that helps the fans and hopefully helps lift the squad as well. That even though he may not play or probably won't play this Sunday, I think it'll do the squad good to have somebody of that experience back in and amongst the practicing and even in the stadium on Sunday, just to keep people's motivation going.
Yeah. Well, I mean, after Noteboom's first game, there was people saying, oh, do you bring Whitworth back in? Obviously you do. I think there's no doubt about that. I think he's still the best offensive lineman that we have. He's still going to be the best offensive lineman when he comes back off a knee injury with, you know, limited practice before going into a playoff game. But I think he's... Well, he was certainly there on the sideline in at the Jets game. But, you know, just to have him back in full practice, which he can now do, is probably going to be a lift for everyone. You know, he's obviously a huge part of the team, figuratively and literally. It'll be good to hopefully see him have at least one more game this season.
Definitely. So looking at the playoffs, I believe there are two scenarios. You know, if the Packers beat the Bears, then we automatically make the playoffs. And also, if we win against the Cardinals, we make the playoffs. There's probably some other jiggery pokery at the back end where if both of those things do not happen and several other things do happen, then we would still make the playoffs. But we both kick off, both the Packers Bears and the Rams Cardinals, both kick off at 9:25 UK time on Sunday. Have I said anything incorrect or untrue, Jordan?
Well, there's only really one scenario where the Rams don't make the playoffs, and that's a Rams loss and a Bears win. So
right,
if that happens, the Rams are out regardless of any other result in any other game and anywhere else. Bears win, Rams win, Rams are in. Basically, if the Rams win, they're in. If the Packers win, the Rams are in, regardless of the Rams result. But if both of those things, Rams loss, Bears win, then the Rams don't make the playoffs.
You know what? I think it's red zone on Sunday rather than just watching one game. I think we need two screens up, don't we?
Yeah, well, Rams are on Sky Sports this week, so it's an easy one to have that on. And then I'll probably have the Packers game on laptop or something like that, Game Pass.
That's a cracking idea, actually, because I usually watch my Sky games because I'm banished from the main room in the house. On my PC, actually, so I can have Sky Go on one screen right in front of me, and I can have the Packers game on the other side on Game Pass. That sounds like an excellent scenario. If only they both go the right way for us.
Yeah. So that's kind of the scenarios in terms of, you know, I'm not even sure I want to get as far ahead as looking at who they could play if the Rams make the playoffs, but I'm not entirely sure. I think it's quite likely they play the Seahawks, but I couldn't tell you all the different... I'm sure there's different permutations for what seeding the Rams are, but in terms of will they be in the playoffs, will they not be in the playoffs, there's only really those kind of scenarios that I've went over. So we're concentrating just the wins and losses just now, and then should it go well, we'll look at the next step next week, hopefully.
Yes. I think it's most likely that we'll be playing Seattle. Obviously, they've clinched the divisional title last week, so they will have home field advantage for the first game. And then obviously it'll go on the seedings, won't it? Excellent. Okay, well, thanks for that. I think this is the time of the night when we usually look at our predictions for the Sky broadcast games. And I'll quickly bring up the results from last week. And it was a bumper set of games. Week 16, Minnesota versus New Orleans. New Orleans won, and everybody apart from Tom picked that one. Everybody picked Tampa Bay against Detroit. Absolutely nobody picked San Francisco over Arizona Cardinals, which is a bit disappointing. We were 50-50 split on the Las Vegas-Miami game. Only Chris picked Pittsburgh over the Colts, if I'm reading this line correctly. And good fans that we are, none of us picked Seattle over the Rams. And then just myself and Tom picked Tennessee over Green Bay, foolishly. And then everybody picked Buffalo over New England, which was a bit of a drubbing, as we would say in this country, for New England at their last home game of the season, I'm assuming.
Possibly, yeah, but yeah, it's good result. I don't really.
No, I think I watched some of the highlights just mainly because Buffalo scored 40 plus points. But you did rather well on the week, Jordan. You got 5 points, as did Rob and Chris. I brought up the rear with Tom with 3 points and Aaron in the middle of the pack with 4, which leaves us with the standings at, let's have a look, Aaron and Tom on 44. Myself and Rob on 45, and then Chris and your good self neck and neck going into week 17 with 3 games to play, on 50 correct win loss guesses. So the games this weekend live on UK Sky are Pittsburgh versus Cleveland. What was your thoughts there, Jordan?
Pittsburgh are Ben Roethlisberger isn't going to be playing, so Pittsburgh's down to their backup quarterback. They're just resting the aging Ben Roethlisberger. So I picked Cleveland. I think Cleveland win. They're in the playoffs, so just kind of hoping that they do that. I think they possibly get some of their players they had out with COVID back. So. That's my thinking in that one.
Yeah, I mean the Browns have looked decent this season, and the Steelers have looked vulnerable the last 2 or 3 games, haven't they? After going, was it 11 or 12 straight?
11.
And I think when any team gets to 10 straight wins, I think most of the neutral stroke opposition fans start thinking, I just want them to lose this week. Well, that's my mentality anyway, which is maybe, I'm hoping is normal, but it may not be. And the second game is Arizona versus Los Angeles Rams. And as you'd expect, we've all gone for a Rams win. Is that head over heart or heart over head for you, Jordan?
Well, to be honest, I'd actually picked the Rams to win when I didn't think Kyler Murray was going to be playing. And he will be playing now, which is, we made the predictions this afternoon, and I think an hour or two ago at most, it's been said that Murray's going to be playing. So it's down on paper now, so I need to keep it bad probably, to be honest. We had been looking at changing it, such as the confidence levels at the minute.
And my heart did sink when I saw somebody tweet that, and I've not had the chance to actually check if it was correct that Kyler Murray was going to be playing, to be honest. But that's an official source we've seen, is it?
Well, it was Kyler Murray in his press conference saying he was playing, so I think it's about as close as it gets to...
Yeah, from the horse's mouth then.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, no takebacks now, I'm afraid, Jordan. And the final game for Sunday evening is Washington at Philadelphia. I think that Philadelphia can still qualify.
No, they're out. Are they out? Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So they'll just be looking to play spoiler, I think. So I think Washington can still go through. I'm not entirely sure of the permutations of this one.
They are in first place in the NFC East.
All right, well, if they win, they're in then.
They are, quite correct. But if they lose and the Cowboys or Giants win, not the Giants. That would take more, but obviously the Cowboys. Oh crikey, the Cowboys are playing the Giants. So there's a lot to play for on that one as well.
Yeah, but I think the Eagles have played a bit better with Jalen Hurts at quarterback, so I've picked the Eagles for that one. Washington, I don't think right now Alex Smith is due to play. I think they're down to Taylor Heineke, I think his name is, who came in for Dwayne Haskins on Sunday, and obviously they've since released Dwayne Haskins as well. So Washington in a bit of
turmoil.
For a franchise that's just basically built on turmoil, especially at the minute with names and off the field and on the field. So I've picked the Eagles for that one.
I was really close on this, and I was sort of under the, I don't know why I didn't do my proper research about whether the Eagles were in or out, to be honest, but I picked Washington, and that was maybe a bit of a nod to my brother, who's a Washington fan as well. But I think that's a tough game to predict, really, because the Eagles are at home, and I think if the fans were in the stands, you'd probably expect or predict them to win as well. But I'm assuming that Philadelphia aren't having any fans at all.
I don't think they have had I think they did at the start of the season. Then it was kind of conveniently when they started losing quite a lot, they said, oh, we're not allowed fans anymore. So I think they're still with zero fans.
Very cynical indeed, very cynical indeed. But I love that. That's brilliant. And why wouldn't you? So moving on to some questions from our usual correspondents on Facebook. Let's have a look and see who we've got. Let's go with our friend Daniel Flint first. With the salary cap likely to reduce by quite a lot, and I think it's the rumour is 25 million will be lost off the salary cap next year. Do you think we lose more impending free agents than we would have? And I think it's pretty well known that the Rams have quite a tight salary cap, and that 25 million reduction in the cap would definitely put us over. But I was taking a quite a long look at the list of players that we've got coming up in free agency. We did sign both Ramsey and Kupp pre-season, who would have been free agents this coming free agency period. But we've got Leonard Floyd, Austin Blythe, Malcolm Brown, Troy Hill, Gerald Everett, Kai Forbath. I thought we traded or cut him or something. Morgan Fox, John Johnson, Josh Reynolds, Johnny Muntz, Matt Gay, Darius Williams. I mean, there's a huge list of potential free agents. But I think the only thing we can say is that every team is going to be in the same situation if and when the salary cap gets cut. What are your first thoughts or impressions, Jordan?
Well, I think obviously you're going to lose more if the salary cap's, reduced, but obviously there's big decisions. I think the lucky thing with Darius Williams is he's going to be a restricted free agent, so he's not going to, well, the initial tender that the Rams will be able to offer him is, that's where it goes in, a first round tender, second round tender, etc. And it's a few million compared to what he probably could command in free agency, given the season he's had. So, there's ones like that which kind of work in your favour. But I think when you're trying to keep a guy like John Johnson, you're unfortunately going to be struggling a bit. And then I think there's other ones which, maybe they could have tried to get back a Gerald Everett, because he's shown in parts what he can do, but he's not really done it consistently. I'd be surprised if they didn't re-sign Matt Gay, given the kind of end to the season that he's having. Then other ones, I think you can pretty much see Josh Reynolds going. I just think when you look back at the likes of Sunday's game, there was times where he just looked like he was jogging almost to some of the plays. I've just not been entirely impressed with him. I think people were expecting big things I think he was, what, a fourth rounder, but I think he had the potential to play a lot higher when he came out of college 4 years ago. For being a kind of bigger guy, he doesn't seem to win many of the jump balls or anything, many of the tougher catches. So, you know, ones like that, I can see him going. Again, it kind of boils down to who's going to be available in free agency. Can you find upgrades? What happens in terms of the draft? Can you get better players, younger players for cheaper there? But yeah, I mean, I think the obvious answer is if it's going to be cut by a rumored $25 million, you're going to lose more players than you would have previously been able to keep.
I mean, the other side of that is obviously every other team is going to be in a similar situation, depending on their current cap situation, obviously. But, you know, some players are going to have to accept a lower salary because there's just not enough salary cap to go around.
I don't know if we'll see players accept lower salary because there'll be ways to work around it because they'll, you know, obviously all of it's COVID related. So if we start to see, you know, again, kind of, I suppose it's unrelated but related, you know, we saw here in the UK a second vaccine has been approved. So if in the US they're already a bit more, you know, I think the Bills are going to announce, sorry, I'm kind of tangenting here, but, you know, the Bills are announcing that there's like 7,000 fans there going into games. We've not had 7,000 fans here. I think they're just, you know, I think they announced today as well they're expecting that they'll pass 1 million fans back through the door. So they'll be seeing the revenue, you know, start to increase probably next season again. So I wouldn't be surprised if they see the increase in the salary cap the year after once again, which means that they'll probably find ways to backload the contract where, you know, they'll take a reduced salary in inverted commas this year when they sign. But then in years going forward, they'll get a bigger chunk of the salary cap and it'll basically work itself that way. You know, we've seen with, I think, what did we extend Ramsey and gained $5 million in cap space earlier this year? You know, the salary cap's a weird and wonderful thing. So like, there'll be ways that teams can manipulate it and still get their players.
Yeah, I think the Rams front office have been decent at actually manipulating that salary cap to make it work for us. And obviously we have a number of large salaries large contracts that can be restructured to try and help the team. I was trying to drag up the how many draft picks we might have, but I know we've had a tendency to trade away our first round picks over the last couple of years, haven't we? But I mean, it's not always about free agency. As much as you want to get those experienced players, there is the draft to consider as well. So yeah, it's going to be a tricky free agency period, I think, and it's going to be. I think we might see quite a bit of wheeling and dealing. So Luke Nickling on Facebook asks, would you start Bortles over Walford? And I know we've already covered this. With this game a make or break for the playoffs, ! I would personally start Bortles due to his experience. And I think you already made your thoughts very clear that Bortles, although he might be, he might have knowledge of the playbook and the players, etc., for the Rams and the overall system, it would be better off playing Walford.
Yeah, I mean, to come in the building for 5 days and start, that's just not going to happen. You know, Walford is something different as well. Bortles is very similar to Goff in terms of they're not particularly mobile. And at the minute, when we last saw Bortles, you know, what, 2 years ago when he last had a run, he wasn't very good either. So I don't know why you would go for much the sameness, trying to get a spark in the offense. So Walford's different. He's, you know, I'm not going to compare him quality wise to Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson, but he's more in that mold. He's very mobile. If you just watch a couple of clips of plays from, albeit pre-season, the first thing you'll notice is how quick his legs are moving compared to Jared Goff. It might help Sean McVay open the playbook a bit, get some different plays in, get some things going, get a spark. I don't know why you would go Bortles. I think it's just like, you know, it's just basically probably even a lesser version of Jared Goff, to be honest, and considering what we saw this season and particularly the last, you know, few weeks. I don't know why you would even consider that, to be honest.
Fair enough. You've nearly got me excited for Sunday's game with that, Jordan. Gary Burke on Facebook again. Losing to the Jets will come back to haunt us. I think it already has. Goff cannot in game situations read coverages. Yes, he can point out the mic backer, but after that, it's anyone's guess. He'd put Bortles in. Do we need to look at another quarterback in the draft?
I don't know about draft, because I mean the first pick the Rams are going to have is in the second round, and let's say for talk's sake Wolford comes in and has a good game, okay, so he's on the lower end of the salary scale, so you know, why not go with him as your backup, or at least the guy who's going to be pushing Goff next year. I don't think next year will be the year to look, just because of the round, you know, like I say, second round's the first pick for the Rams. It's difficult to get, you know, I can't say I particularly looked at the quarterback draft class this year, but in some years by the second round you're kind of struggling for decent options. So I think there's, again, kind of touching back to the free agency, the lower salary cap, there's going to be holes that are a bigger need in the second round than a quarterback who potentially isn't going to even see the field for at least 1 year, because I don't know if there's a question, I haven't seen them, but you know, Goff's contract isn't really something that we can get out of until 2022.
No, so, I mean, the dead cap money is just appalling for the next 2 years. I think it's $65 million this year, or this coming season, and then $35 million the season after that, and then I think it drops to about $8 million after that. So it is here at least, to my mind, through 2022.
Yeah, I think I've just saw on Twitter that 2022 is the first year. I don't know if it becomes more tradable as a contract. You know, if someone was going to want to take a 1 year punt essentially on him to try and, you know, if he doesn't improve next year, you know, to try and recover him as such. But yeah, I just don't see why. Again, say you spend a second rounder and he does come back next year and have a good year, you've wasted a second rounder for me, because although they're not on huge amounts of money in the second round, it's still a decent bit of the salary cap that could have gone to another area of the team.
Yep, definitely. And I think the other comments, really, or questions and comments and statements and rants on Facebook, questions are pretty much of a theme that we've already covered, or are themes that we've already covered in our normal conversation. In so much as the fact that it's looking likely that we will play Seattle in the playoffs, do you fancy our chances again? Obviously, we've split the series in the regular season. We've both won our home games. The playoffs is different, but we will be playing in Seattle in January. They're not known for their clement weather up there. It's likely to be snowing. It's likely to be pretty cold, which is something that our team isn't particularly used to. Would you fancy our chances, Jordan?
I don't know why you would right now. You know, it's obviously dependent on Sunday first. I'd rather see how Sunday goes before you answer that question. you know, they're talking about Goff being back, but, like, does that fill you with more or less confidence? At the minute, it probably actually fills you with less. You know, I want to see how Walford does on Sunday. Obviously, the Cardinals struggle to stop CJ Beathard, not sure how you pronounce his name.
I don't know how they pronounce that. I just want to say Beathard every time I see it.
And more particularly, they fail to stop the running game of San Francisco, which unfortunately possibly won't be one of our strengths given the injuries there. You know, I'd rather kind of concentrate on Sunday, see how we look against that. You're hoping the defense can come up big. You know, stop Murray running. He had 75 yards on Sunday. Obviously, they've got Hopkins, who you can expect to see Ramsey on for most of the game as well. But yeah, let's see how Sunday goes before we start making predictions about playoffs that we're not in yet.
That's nicely sat on the fence, Jordan. Yes, I with the last game at Seattle being so close in our memories, I wouldn't want to really predict anything going forward either. But yeah, I think the first step is to actually get into the playoffs, and then obviously hopefully we'll have another podcast next week where we can look a little bit more in detail about who we're playing and when and where. Is there anything else that you wanted to add to this conversation at all, Jordan, before we sign off?
No, not particularly. I think we've hopefully Sunday's better is all we can really say.
I will second that emotion. So with that, I'd like to thank you again for your time this evening, Jordan, and wish you a happy new year, and wish our listeners for sticking with us through 45 episodes and a happy 2021 to everyone else.
Yep, same to yourself and same to everybody out there.